Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
It's interesting tonight because the Lord has really laid it on my heart about transforming our lives. And you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is real simple. It's a go-to scripture for me. You know, I've got a few of them. Psalm 92, 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Matthew 16, 18, and upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. There's go-to scriptures that I have just that because they've made such an indelible mark on my life. And one of them is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where Paul writes and says, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, God's not looking for us to die for him. God's looking for us to live for him. So in order for us to live for him, we've got to die to aspects of our lives. Okay, so there is a hook in there. There is an edge to it. But that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. See, and It seems that the reality of it is, it seems over the top, but listen, it's just our reasonable service that we present ourselves as living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service. And then verse 2 of Romans 12, Paul writes and says, and don't be conformed to this world. And now listen, there is a part of our old nature, a part of who we are as human beings. We have a conforming aspect to our personalities, to our DNA, to just us as human beings. That I think that if we're just in it long enough, we'll conform to it. Okay, but Paul says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I don't believe there's three wills of God. I believe there's one will of God. I believe it's good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, you might be of the persuasion and doctrine that, well, you could be in the permissive will of God, or you could be in but I just believe it's just the will of God. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. Okay? And we look at our lives and we have to understand that this life, and you should write this down, this life is not performance-based. Even though it sure does feel like it, it sure does seem like it. We just gave you an opportunity to give. I'm up here speaking publicly. There's so much going on. We ask you to serve and give you an opportunity to serve and the whole thing. So it feels like there's some performance in it. But listen, it's not performance-based. Everything about the kingdom is trust-based. It's all about trust. It's not our performance. You know, religion has fooled people into thinking that they can perform their way into God's heart. And I'm telling you, what we've got to understand is we can never perform our way into God's heart. We can't perform our way into God's will. I'm not going to preach my way into God's will. I'm not going to preach. But listen, the idea of preaching now is just proclaiming the goodness of God. In a way, listen, that is so relatable. And what we've got to do is we've got to stretch from this generation through probably numerous generations to this generation. It's got to be A to Z. And we've got to communicate it. Why? Because the world is causing us to have to conform to it. Worry about what they say to worry about. Fret about what they say to fret about. Invest in what they say to invest in. Believe what they want to, man, prescribe what they're dishing out. See, the idea of this is everything about the kingdom is counter to what's in the world. There's so much behind a couple times in the Gospels where Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say to you. You've heard it said. There's conventional thinking that we've heard, and it seems so reasonable because it's natural. You know, Paul even wrote and said, you could live this life, the life that we're living, as a mere man. You could know the word, you could trust God, you could believe in Jesus and live like regular, normal people. You're permitted to. God will allow that. But let me just tell you, that is so frustrating. And let me just tell you, I don't believe that we could be mere men and really stave off the doubt that the enemy's throwing at us all the time. Because there's so much in so much that's factual that's in our doubts. You're not doubting things that are fiction. You're doubting the factual aspect of the fiery darts that the enemy's hurling at you. See, and we look at this and we have to understand that this life, it's never, what we see is never the whole picture. Paul even said, I know in part, therefore I preach in part. But he said, one thing I do, forgetting which is behind and pressing toward the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus, the prize of the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. See, but I've got to forget which is behind, even though, listen, it's reasonable, even though it's natural, even though it might very well be factual. Man, your finances, you may factually be underwater financially, but our God reigns. I said our God reigns. Man, we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve a God who's a father in our lives and owns cattle on 1,000 hills. As far as we can see, it's His. And what God wants to do is multiply it back to us. But see, we've got to live our lives and in the functionality of the kingdom, not the dysfunction of the world. See, how does the kingdom function? What's God? Well, how does God's will really truly apply to our lives? Because we have natural fears and we have things that we're suspect of. And I'm just saying, man, Jesus made it real simple. And Mark wrote it in the 11th chapter where he said, look, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Write that down. Have the God kind of faith. And you come upon that mountain, you come upon that doubt, you come upon that debt, you come upon that sickness, you try come upon that authority that's trying to hover over you. See, that's all the enemy wants to do is wants to gain back the authority in your life. See, and it's real easy. What James said, the half-brother of Jesus, he wrote, listen, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. You know, it's so lame, it's so soft for Christians to say, oh, I'm under attack, I've got to go run and hide. No, you got to submit to God. Man, you're under a financial burden right now and you consider it a spiritual attack. Let me tell you, that's a great place for you to be. Because you know what you can do? Submit yourself to God, put God first, resist the devil, and the Bible says he has to flee. See, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Then he said, therefore go. Man, we're raising children and we're helping people. And I'm telling you, the biggest message that we could give to people is, listen, all authority's been given Jesus and he's taken up residency on the inside of you now. See, you have authority by association. Write that down. I have authority over heaven and earth by the association I'm in with Jesus. Man, I'm an ambassador for Christ now. But say to this mountain, this thing hovering over you. Anybody have anything in your life that's hovering over you tonight? Anybody? You got debt, you got sickness, you got shame, you got regret, you've got depression, you've got drugs, you've got liquor. What else? What? Anybody? Raise your hands if you've got something hovering over you. You say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And don't receive any doubt in your heart. The Bible says this, you ready? You have whatever you say. You have whatever you say. See, but how many of you have taken authority over that mountain? How many say, listen, debt, you got to go. I'm here to tell you right now, I'm upside down in my finances. So debt, I don't need you. I don't need you layering this issue on my life. Well, you know what? Be cast in the sea. Don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. And when you stand praying, forgive is what verse 25 says. Why do you forgive? Because unforgiveness, what unforgiveness is one of those doorstops that holds the door open. That's what unforgiveness is. So now there's a door in your heart that Jesus said that he stands at that door and he knocks on your heart. We use that scripture a lot during altar call times because there's people that have given their lives to God that are Jesus' Lord of their life. But you know what? Man, they've just kind of backed off. How many, anybody in here ever done that? Anybody in here at one point you're on fire for God and then it's like, nah, I'd rather go. take an easier route. And you get apathetic. You get soft. See, here's what's bad. You're still associated with Jesus. You still have an adversary, the devil. But now you've taken off the armor that God's given you, and you've thrown the door open, and then guess what you're susceptible to? Unforgiveness, bitterness, regret, shame. You're susceptible. Let me just tell you this. Because of the true righteousness that we have in God, we have no susceptibility to regret anymore, or to shame anymore, or to unforgiveness anymore. Do you understand? It's virtually impossible for a spirit-led Christian to live in unforgiveness. You just can't. Because what unforgiveness is that door in your heart that Jesus stands and knocks on, that door that's open in your heart, and that unforgiveness becomes a doorstop and it props that door open. Now the enemy can get in. The enemy can come in. The enemy can go out. See, none of the entrances into our heart are designed for the enemy to get in. They're only designed for God. They're only designed for you to have control of your life. See, that's what true scriptural prosperity is. It's not you having a lot of money. It's not you having a savings. It's not your stocks increasing. You know what it is? It's you being in control of your life. My goodness, we know. I know a lot of wealthy people that are living out of control. Man, they're living by their emotions. They're living, and you know what that is? That's torment. That's not prosperity. Because let me tell you what a synonym of prosperity is in the Greek is peace. It's peace. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Man, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." See, I'm giving you a peace that's not linked to your emotions. I'm giving you a peace that's not linked to the experiences and the situation in your life. Do you have some situation in your life to try to rob your peace? You can't let it. See, this is what's so great about this plan. See, and the apostles of the Lamb didn't understand it. They went to the Mount of Ascension after Jesus rose from the dead, and they'd been with him for 40 days, and they get to the Mount of Ascension, and they say, oh, Peter says, this is so great. Man, let's build some tents, put some tents up, let's live here. Man, let's invite all of heaven down here. Isaiah can come. Man, this is going to be so great. And you know what Jesus said? Man, I must go. So the comforter, that which is the Holy Spirit, can come upon you. Man, you're going to receive power to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But listen, he didn't just leave physically. Spiritually, what he did is he empowered all of us now. Spiritually, what he did is he left us his peace. So if we live in that peace now, what does Hebrews say? Hebrews says, let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. You have to let it. You have to allow it. But you know what? If you've got doubt and you've got unbelief and you've got unforgiveness and you've got bitterness, you're not allowing that peace to rule and reign in your heart. Where the Amplified even says to act as an umpire. Man, that umpire, let me tell you what the peace of God will do. You'll get news and the peace of God will say, nope, that ball's foul. Foul ball. Get back up there and hit again. See, but you'll think, oh my gosh, I'm out. I just fouled off the third strike. No, you know what? No, you get back up and hit again. See, I heard Kenneth Copeland say this 38 or 9 years ago. And it's the things like this that really, it still resonates in my heart. In the kingdom, here's how the will of God works in our lives. It's my ball. It's my bat. We play till I win. See, I believe that we win if we don't quit. We win if we, but because the Bible says this about our confidence. It says it has great reward. See, but if you've got guilt and shame, if you've got unforgiveness, if you've got bitterness, if you've got something hovering over you, acting as an authority in your life, like Jesus said in Mark 11, then guess what? You're not going to experience any of it. Do you understand? Jesus said, look, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom's come. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. See, this is the will of God. We can't perform our way into heaven. What gets you into heaven? It's a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. What gets you into the will of God? It's a decision to be in the will of God. What gets you? Now listen, what allows that peace to enter your heart and life? It's a decision. You make a decision to be depressed. You make a decision to be miserable. You make a decision to be bitter. You make a decision to be offended. Oh, that guy hurt my feelings. Get over it as quickly as you can. I'm just telling you, this is words for us to live by. In John, the 14th chapter, in the 26th verse, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I've said to you." Oh my gosh, our reliance on the Holy Spirit now, that I'm reminded continually, constantly of everything Jesus said. What did Jesus say? The first scripture in my notes is, "Let not your heart be troubled." Man, don't let trouble into your heart. Close the door to trouble. See, you've got two opportunities. You can either trust God or you can freak out. But see, Jesus said this, and this is the message tonight. "Come unto me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what rest is? It's the opposite of you freaking out. And you know what? You know what you freaking out is? Unrealized expectations. It hadn't happened in your timing. See, with God, it's not chronic. The time isn't chronicle. God's not wearing a wristwatch. He might be. He might be cool like that. No, it's Kairos kind of time. It's timing. And what triggers the timing of God in your life? Let me ask you this. Do you think there's a chance? Do you think there's a chance that any of the timing of God is up to God in your life? Do you think there's a remote chance that it's dependent upon God? You want to say yes, because we're thinking, man, it's the timing of God. It's all up to God. It's in God's time. How many guys have heard that? Oh, it's just going to happen in God's time. Really? That's counter to everything I see in God's word about his kingdom. The Bible says this: God withholds no good thing from those who simply walk uprightly. So the timing of God is dependent upon whom? Huh? I ask you a question. It's rude not to answer. The timing of God is determined by me. My attitude stiff arms God's will. Man, my doubt, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. You've got I'm telling you, God's sitting on the throne right now, just waiting on you to say it. Do you understand? There's angelic hosts all about this auditorium tonight, wherever you are listening to this. Man, there's angelic hosts just waiting. And what do you think they're doing? They're just waiting to perform God's will. They're just waiting to perform God's will in your life. All you've got to do is speak it. And guess what they do? Jump. And I'm telling you, and you know what they're saying? How high? See, we are seated in heavenly places above even the angels. But what does the Bible say? That he's given his angels charge over me. Why? Because he's my provider. So there's a part of this, get over yourself. There's a part of this that you say to this mountain, this authority that's trying to hover over you, be removed to be cast into the sea, and don't receive a lick of doubt in your heart. So what do you have to do? You have to not take into account what you see. Why is it this happening? God, I expected it. Man, I remember a man that was in my life that said, "Let me tell you, I'm believing God for this to work out, and I'm going to give it till September 1st. And let me tell you, I knew nothing about this. All I did was know about Jesus. I knew nothing about the timing of God at that time. But I'll tell you, I had a grievance. It was grieving in my heart because it's like, man, that's going to happen by September 1st or what? God's not flipping pages on the calendar saying, "Oh, man, I got a deadline with him." No, do you understand? in the kingdom, a day is as of what? 1,000 years. Time is irrelevant. Timing is everything. And the timing of your life is triggered by everything that's triggered in the kingdom, your faith, your trust. See, it's by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. I can't perform my way into this. God, everything I've done, God, all the people I've helped, God, you got to help me. God doesn't hear any of that. Why? He takes counsel in his word. God's going to bring help in your life because his word says he is. Because guess what? And write this down. God's the God of precedent. If precedent has been set, then guess what? You can receive it. Has God healed anybody? Then he's bound by his word to heal you. He's a God of precedent. Why? Because I'm not one of those guys that'll say, well, you know, God, he can just do anything. No, he can't. God can't lie. God can't change. God can't respect people. God can't consider you above me. God can't consider, no, let me just help you. I'm telling you, I eat good. My life is determined by the fruit of my lips, period, end of subject. Man, I could deny the cross. I could deny God's promise. I could deny God's will. And guess what? Never have any of the benefits. Is it God's will? Yes. How do I receive it? It's by faith. It's by trust. And by trust is I've got to believe it in my heart and be convinced in my heart. So in order to be convinced, guess what? You've got to sin under teaching like this a lot. You know what this is tonight? This is a transforming night in your life. Your heart's being transformed. And you might look at it and say, I don't see any different. You might go to the mirror and say, I don't see any different. No, let me just tell you, you know that you know that you know that God's doing a work of transformation in your life tonight. And nothing can take that from you. See, and we've got to understand that. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In the Amplified, it says, guard and keep with all, listen, vigilance. It doesn't just say diligence. Man, diligence is that, you know what I'm going to do? Man, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to take it in the chops. I'm going to be diligent and I'm going to do this. No. Yeah, that's great, but let's take it a step farther. Let's be vigilant in this. Vigilance is I'm going to put up a fight. Okay, devil, I'm fighting back. Okay, debt, okay, poverty, okay, sickness, okay. Strife, contention, I'm fighting back. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Do you see how important this is? And above all that you guard, for out of it flows and the springs of life. Oh, to find Christians that have springs of life flowing from their heart. I'm not kidding you. People that, man, Jesus, people that are the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Christians that greater is he who's in them than he who's in the world. And not soft little ragamuffins that are out there go, well, you know, if I could, I'd help you. I wish I had more. I wish I had a little bit of money that I could give you. No, you know what? I dare you to come into church and just empty your pockets. I dare you to empty your bank accounts. I dare you to do it. That's a living sacrifice right there. Holy and acceptable men. That's our reasonable service. Because let me just tell you something. Do you think that generosity goes unnoticed? Yeah, you know something? If this were a place where it's like, no, we're gonna get some new brass to put up on the stage and man, we're gonna get some gold lament. No, you know what? This is going, we're throwing as much resources as we can at poor people. At hurting people, at children. And then a couple verses later, and we do have a great nursery, by the way, but in verse 26, and this is in the Amplified, Proverbs 4:26, consider well the path of your feet. Consider well the path of your feet. Why are you here tonight? What got you here? What drove you here tonight? Is this just your Wednesday night stop? Is it just a creature of habit? No, you've got to consider well the path of your feet. And let all of your ways be established and ordered aright. All of your ways established. Why are you living the way you're living? Why are you living where you're living? Why are you working where you're working? Why? You've got to consider it. And let me just tell you, what God's going to do is God's going to establish you. Man, I'll tell you, I've got such a revelation about the establishment of God in our lives. Man, those are the people I want to be in covenant with. Man, it's not just the people. Remember Saul and Samuel, where Samuel said, look, I've got to leave and I'll be gone for 7 days. On the seventh day, I'll be back and don't do anything. Man, stay the course for 7 days. Can you do it? Saul said, yes, I can do it. As soon as Samuel left, people started rising up and people started complaining. And here Saul was, the king, before David, before Solomon. And here he was, and the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. Man, I'm telling you, they are browbeating him. We've got to do something. We've got to do something. On the seventh day, he took an unclean animal and offered up a burnt sacrifice unto God. And as they're burning that sacrifice unto God just for him to appease the people, Samuel comes and says, Saul, what have you done? He said, but you weren't here. He said, I told you I'd be here. It was the seventh day. 1 week. What have you done? He said, well, you weren't here. He said, I'm here now. And Samuel wasn't talking as a buddy. He was talking as the prophet, the man of God. He said, let me tell you, you're anointed. There's an appointment on your life. But your reign will never be established. See, consider well the path of your feet. Allow your ways to be established and ordered and not all emotional, not knee-jerk reactive. Do what you know is right. Man, you know what's right. Man, if not, just come ask me. I'll remind you of what's right. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions. We're just plugging along. We're just grinding it out. I don't mind going through the motions. I don't mind plugging along. I don't mind grinding it out. I am a grinder to my core. But let me tell you something. It's to gather people. The last thing I want is just a few of the agreeable people to this message to be in this room every time we get here. No, I want skeptics in here. I want people in here that have felt judged by the church their whole lives, and God's going to turn things around. That thing's going to be broken in their lives. You know why? This is a place of transformation. We honor God's word here. God's transforming your life right now. You have to let him. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your hearts. What are you freaking out about? Stop it. Take control of your dadgum life. I got to go buy it. I got to go buy it. I got to go get it. I got to go trade it in. No, you don't. I need a new house. I'm tired of this house. Wash the windows. Paint the windowsills. Love the life God's given you. Because that hole in your heart can only be filled by God, not stuff.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.